is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hour 2 starts now. The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, Joel, getting ready to cover a whole lot more ground.
You can't just keep laughing on the air.
You can't just saying funny things in my ear.
You're laughing on the air and no one knows what you're laughing
saying
about.
Funny things. I'm laughing.
Anything. I'm not a funny guy. You're the comedian.
You know what's going to be funny is me at the gym today. I am starting.
That is pretty funny.
Especially after last night when Sonic messed up.
I saw your tweet on that.
Gave me a large Reese's blast. That doesn't sound like a lot until you realize, you know, when you get a large cherry limeade or a large drink from Sonic, that's the same cup they put the ice cream in.
Ooh, that's a lot.
It was, and I was like, I'm eating all of this because the ice cream I love more than anything.
You got a spare stomach when it comes down to ice cream. You could just
like a cow, like six stomachs, five of them are for ice cream. I couldn't finish it. That's how much ice cream was in this. I gave it the old college try, though. I tried.
Wait, you didn't finish it?
No. And Nora was like, you stupid. I kept going back. I'd be like, I just got to take a break. And then I'd go back and eat
like
a more.
Challenge.
She was like, you are going to have diabetes before we go to sleep. Why are you trying
you
to eat all this ice cream?
You dinnered your ice cream.
I did.
Kept going back for seconds.
I did.
And you couldn't finish?
I couldn't. It was so much. And there was so
that's
much
so
Reese's in there. Dude, they put way too many Reese's. And that's another phrase I never thought my
I was gonna
mouth
say,
would
you
say out loud.
Steals every Reese's out of every Halloween
too
gathering.
Too much Reese's was something I never thought I'd say. It was too much. It was too much chocolate and peanut butter and ice
this
cream.
This was all today?
This was last night.
Last night, yeah.
I was about to say, if you ate this today and then hit the gym tonight, you're probably throwing all that up.
No. Oh, that's what I'm worried about is, you know, I've told this story before about how I went and worked out one time with a guy named Derek Jonkins up in the Woodlands. And
I've seen you at the gym before.
I pooped, threw up, and passed out all in the span of 5 minutes.
That's fantastic.
Of working out with this guy. And I'm pretty sure that's what's going to happen today. Because from Thursday until last night, I'm not even exaggerating, gained 5 pounds.
Really?
Not even exaggerating.
Live stream your workout, shirtless. Periscope it.
Oh, my God. I'd be like that big fat lineman that ran without a shirt. No one wants to see that. Just boobs. I know why chicks wear sports bras.
The Philly fan that's
trust
got the
me.
Fanatic as his belly button that's got all the tattoos
yeah.
with his shirt off.
No one wants to see this running around. Trust me on that.
Well,
but
I played basketball again Saturday. I ran once. Yeah, got 3 miles in, but today was the day for me, too, where I said, okay, now the leg's healthy, the holiday's behind us, it's time to get back to business. So I'm
nervous. It's going to be ugly.
Got the protein shake,
and I even
egg
asked,
whites, fruit, that's it.
My niece, Mandy, is the one that she works at the gym. She's like, oh, I got a plus one, you can come work out. I was like, oh, I'm down. That hold me accountable. And I was like, do they have beginner's classes? She goes like, no, it's just one class.
Beginner's class?
Yeah. You can work up. You know, you're a new fat guy off the street that hasn't worked out in a while. And I realize I've ran 2 miles, but you and I both know going out and jogging 2 miles is totally different than doing 45 minutes of high-intensity interval training for 45 straight minutes.
I told you.
I'm going to die.
That when we signed up for Lifetime in Sugarland, you got free workout and free consultation and all that stuff.
Sure.
And when I did the free workout, the guy was like, look, you know how to do like just free weights. He goes, I'm going to try teach you something different. And he did the high
the
intensity
training.
It was a combination of is it PXT now?
PX90
or no but, where you use your
P90X.
Own you, no it's PXT I think it's called, but essentially it's a bunch of like ropes and pulleys and things, and you're using your own body weight to do like pull-ups and things. Then it also kind of implements CrossFit where you're pushing the big tractor tires over and then
right.
jumping. Dude, I was ready to throw up. I was like, he's looking at me, goes, you all right? I go, I don't think so. This is not the kind of workout I'm used to. This is different.
I feel you on that.
It's pure cross training is what I'm seeing on the internet.
Pure PXT?
PXT.
Pure cross training?
I heard if you're looking to slim down, I was told cross training kind of bulks you up, though.
CrossFit?
Yeah.
I can see that, too, in terms of...
Or is cross training and CrossFit two different things?
That I don't know. I know
CrossFit,
I know
which
CrossFit
one uses the kettlebells a lot?
Not CrossFit. CrossFit.
Because I was told if
one,
you want to like
a cult. two,
that's true.
That is true.
That is very
true. To me, I liken CrossFit to like field day back in the day when you were in elementary school. They do like monkey bars and chin ups, and but they do like
monkey bars at your field day.
They do like weird chin ups. You know what I mean? Like, it, I don't know. I used to, when I trained for a brief time, I was training Muay Thai under Daniel Kim at the Woodlands Gracie Baja, and they had CrossFit, and that's when CrossFit was really becoming popular. So we did a lot of CrossFit training. And it's really just, you know, it's almost like high intensity interval training. You'll see them doing weights, but not traditional everybody get on a circuit and work out kind of weights. So I don't know if that's different than, I think cross training is really more where it has to do with the sport. So if you're a football player and you do, you know,
cross training for basketball, me is utilizing multiple different
sports.
Yeah, or workouts.
Because Bo Jackson made cross trainers and cross training big.
So one day,
so I think that's different than CrossFit.
Weights, treadmill.
What it says here on the internet, and I'm pretty sure the text line is already blowing you up about the difference. But it says cross training is building your strength or endurance by using different activities and exercises.
Different sports, right?
CrossFit is a trademarked workout regimen and involves high intensity functional movements.
So pretty close to what I said.
Yeah, I don't think it's wrong. I don't think what you said was wrong.
Okay.
Yeah, so but it is slightly different. So CrossFit is kind of a niche, I feel like.
I don't know what this is, but they said, you know, it's like high-intensity interval training. So it's probably closer to CrossFit, which I don't care. At this point, I'm just fat.
I'm never doing CrossFit anymore.
I need to lose 30 pounds.
Yeah, but
you're not losing 30.
If you get another pair of those slick swimming skivvies, you'll go back in the pool, right?
What?
If Nick gets another pair of those slick swimming skivvies that he wanted last year,
I haven't got them yet because I don't have the body yet. I don't have the body.
If you get them for Christmas,
I get the body, you'll then get I'm back in wear the jammers.
Wait a minute, you don't have the body yet?
Yeah, yet.
You don't. You just won't have the body.
You've seen the progress.
You won't have.
I will evolve into a body.
You're
that
shaped
will allow
like a light bulb. You're
shut
never
the hell up.
Gonna
quit saying that.
I'm not. You'll evolve into.
You're absolutely shaped like a light bulb, an upside down light bulb.
Like?
I'm shaped like a bubble.
I thought they called that a pear shape. Shaped like a light bulb upside down.
He's a light bulb that's screwed into the ceiling.
I really don't appreciate you calling me a light bulb.
You're shaped like. I'm sorry. I have an hourglass figure. 2 hours. It's a 2-hourglass figure.
I hope you fall on your face like you did at.
I probably will.
What was that summer event that we had? Sunfest.
Yeah.
I was drunk. All right.
There's an idea. Let's get drunk and throw an intern on our shoulders and then fall face first.
Yeah. No, that's not
good
smart.
There wasn't any.
Good thing he didn't land
on
the intern. That would have been a disaster.
Oh, God.
The intern would have died. Suffocating.
See, you just shut your mouth. When are you going to start working out? Because Joel and I.
We both are starting today.
We're working on not being fat. When are you going to work on not being fat?
Yeah, Joel only has one leg and he's working out. I should be ashamed of myself.
Yeah, you should.
I'm gonna hit that gym.
He's got one leg.
I'm going to hit the Met and pick a fight with one of Joel's friends at on the basketball court like
welcome.
I did last time.
You're more than welcome to.
That might be a good.
I'll bring it back. I don't care.
I have a feeling you're not going to work out, are you?
Man,
are you gonna? Here's why I'm going. All right. Truth be told, putting all my cards on the table, I don't want to be the guy that goes in January. If I go now,
you want to be New Year's resolution guy,
right? If I go now, then I've just been going.
New Year's resolution that never works for me.
You especially don't. When so many people do it that it's annoying,
and they're gone by February.
Yep.
It literally lasts like 7 days, I feel like, for most people.
Really? And so
they did two workouts in 1 week.
Yeah.
You know, like, I did it for a couple weeks. No, you did it for 2 days.
I feel like 4 to 6 weeks. And then Super Bowl comes around, and then they're like, oh, well, let's just eat bad. And they never, that's it.
Because Get Me Michael is here.
Or something came up.
Right. Give you what?
Get Me Michael over here. Pick Me Michael was here. And I remember he had the New Year's resolution, and I don't think that lasted.
He doubled it.
I think he gave up like January 15th is when he gave up.
You're so mean. You are so mean. I plan to stick with this as long as possible. Travel makes it difficult, but maybe here's the thing. If I work out, I know I'll eat better. But just eating better doesn't mean I'll work out. So I feel like this holds me accountable. There's a gym that's on the way home. It's in the Heights. So I just, on my drive home, I take 610, I just pull into the gym in the Heights and stop and work out.
By the way, I do consider you a big enough comic because you do travel, but travel is not an excuse for you being a fat ass. Not, you don't travel enough. It's fair?
No, no. Wait a minute. Here's the thing.
If Brendan Schaub, he can blame travel for being a bit, you know, a bit fat. Very, not so much.
Actually, I do better on the road. This is my point. I'll do better when I travel. Yeah, I eat worse.
Because you're limited, because unlike a lot of people, when they travel for work, they travel and they get to stay in a nice hotel which has a gym. So when you travel, a lot of times you're staying in like the condos or the houses. They don't have all those amenities, so it makes it harder.
But while I don't exercise as much, I do go running, but I actually eat better when Nora's not around. So while I'm on the road, I make better choices. I make better. Wives will really mess up your diet.
See, I find that impossible for me. How are you? How are you able to eat better on the road?
Because I don't eat as much. I don't eat as often.
And there's no peer
pressure.
And
what I do, what I do is I really, honest to God, I go and buy, like, I'll go buy a dozen eggs and a pack of like low carb tortillas, and then I'll eat eggs and tortillas for lunch, dinner.
That's not bad, though. I mean,
he's so right, though. The peer pressure from the wives.
They're low-cal, low-carb tortillas. So
pregnant wives, really not that bad. Pregnant wives especially need company.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So it's like, it's one thing if Lisa's eating three desserts, but babe, you got to try this. Babe, you got to get it. You got to get at least one of these.
So last
night, so annoying because I got bamboozled on Thanksgiving because I was full. I only had one plate. And I'm like, I'm doing really well. I didn't eat all day. I had one plate. I was good. She's like, babe, you going to have dessert with me? And I was like, no. She goes, you got to. So then she sets it all up. And then she goes, oh, Taylor had me doing this. I don't think I'm going to eat it. I was already like cherry pie and ice cream in. I'm going,
That's Nora. She'll like, you know, we bought those package of rolls that you just pop in the oven and warm up. They're already kind of pre-cooked. But I'm like, you know, we're making leftovers. So I'm like, how many rolls you want? She's like, two. I'm like, okay, so I'll make three rolls for myself. Well, then she ends up not eating any rolls, and I eat five. That's her fault. There wouldn't have been five rolls, I wouldn't have ate five rolls.
It's real.
It's a real thing. Yep. It's like they say with kids. That's why parents get fat, because you end up eating what your kids don't.
So true.
I end up eating what my wife doesn't, and then I'm basically eating two meals, because she eats like a bird.
Thank God my kids eat crap food, because that's way super healthy, because otherwise,
it's a real thing.
Yeah. So there you have that.
I wish I can blame it on someone else. I'm just fat. You know, I don't.
You just make bad choices. At least you own it.
At least we're on the hook. So we got motivation now that we got to stick with this. Two of us anyway. All right. We got plenty more to go on the show. Lots to get to. Talk a little bit about the Rockets at some point because of the fact that they are rolling and so is James Harden. But if there's something on your mind you want to get off your chest, join us. 713-780-3776. HR&P listen line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Usual suspects. ESPN 97.5.
Who's this?
Hey, this is Trey Wingo. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 Houston. Hello.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on The Usual Suspects as we roll through. Want to remind you, the world-renowned Beatles expert Howard Goodall is coming to Houston to share his insights into the creative genius that was the Beatles. The one-of-a-kind event is going to take place Monday, December 16th at the beautiful George Theater. Thanks to St. Luke's Music with friends Jaguar Houston Central, Land Rover Houston Central, and Momentum Mini. Doors open at 6:30, include light bites before and after Goodall's presentation. It's an exceptional, rare opportunity. It's the first time Goodall has given his presentation on the Beatles in the United States. So if you're a fan, it's a must-see. Tickets now available and on sale at sportsmap.com. Check it out. There you go.
Check it.
Ken Hoffman, big Beatles fan. He'll be there.
That's right.
The Hoff.
The Hoffinator. You see the news that came out of Texans camp last night that they do not plan on hiring a GM for the 2020 season?
I saw Ian Rappaport was reporting something on it this weekend, and then I started reading up on it. I retweeted it going, please say it isn't so.
Truth be told, though, if you're a GM or a potential GM, do you really want to come to this team?
No, we talked about it.
In this position with no draft picks.
No money.
With a power-hungry coach.
Uh-huh.
And then have to, you know, basically you're just, it's a glorified title because you know that he's going to be pulling all the strings anyways.
I don't know if I heard it this morning on the bench or last night during the game. But they were honest about it, and it might have been Lance and John talking about it, but they basically hit it right on the head. Some people don't work well with others. And that's Bill O'Brien. And on top of that, if you came from the Belichick tree, where it is a one-man band.
Yeah.
You don't want to work well with others.
But here's the thing. Bill Belichick earned that.
Sure he did. It's
Bill O'Brien has not earned that. Yeah, Bill O'Brien has not earned the right to be his own GM yet.
But what we said is if you're an aspiring general manager to be, there's going to be better opportunities for you where at least if your team sucks, you'll have draft picks to pick from.
But don't you have kind of a...
Miami.
I mean, this is like my hot take, but don't you kind of have a built-in excuse? See, for me, if I was a head coach looking for a job, this is the team I don't want to because of the draft picks. But if I'm a general manager, it's like, well, you've got my hands tied behind my back anyway. Can you blame me for me not making the proper additions to this roster? Like, if I was the general manager, I'd be more tempted to take the job than if I was a head coach.
If you've not been a general manager yet, maybe.
Because you're trying to prove yourself.
But if you've already been a general manager, if you're not currently a general manager or you're a general manager on the way out the door, your reputation has been dinged a little bit because you weren't successful. In most cases, some of them are, and they lose it, and then they eventually get fired, just like coaches do, right? Eventually, coaches that win Super Bowls get fired because they lose the locker room or the game passes them by or whatever. But in those cases, you're trying to build some momentum for your career. And so an established GM that maybe doesn't have a job or is losing their job coming here, it's not going to help them. If you're a young guy coming up and you're looking to be a GM, then maybe you have that built-in excuse and you get some on-the-job training and some experience.
You just want an opportunity.
I see that. Right. I see it for the GM, the aspiring GM who's trying to come up, but I see it for the established person too. The reason why is because even if you do bad, you're probably established enough to the point where, you know what, even if this doesn't go right, I can get a job somewhere else. No, and there's a lot of people that have that mentality.
That's where you got to be careful because it could be your first opportunity and you expect that there are going to be many, many more. But if it doesn't go well, and I give you the Cleveland Browns as an overwhelming example, Exhibit A. Freddie Kitchens got his first job as a head coach. Okay? So you figure there's going to be many, many more. But from all of the different things about a locker room out of control, about the fact that the way the play calling is gone and how everything has been mismanaged and mishandled in terms of on and off the field, he may not get another opportunity. You look at John Dorsey, an established general manager, who got all the credit in the world for the fact that he drafted Baker Mayfield when everybody thought he shouldn't be the number one overall pick, who went out and got a Kareem Hunt as his insurance plan that, oh, he's going to be huge starting in week 9, that he made the roster moves necessary to really put this team, as we said, a sexy pick to be in the Super Bowl to start of the year. But he hired the wrong head coach. He's getting more scrutiny for one mishire than the credit he deserves for trading for OBJ and getting all these draft picks and, you know, very, very savvy moves that have made this team head and shoulders better. He took a team that hadn't won a game in over a year and had all this massive negativity.
That's interesting because, I mean, I would argue that's a terrible – Dorsey is not a good example because I feel like he's getting all this hate about Freddie Kitchens right now. You think he really is not going to get another gig somewhere else?
He's already been somewhere else where he was successful.
Yeah.
That's why he'll get another gig. But like, that's what I'm saying. But if this is your first opportunity, and you take this gig, and you, because the pressure is going to be, hey, I'm taking this gig, and the guy that's got all the control in the organization is the guy that I may have to be on the hot seat to fire. And then it's going to be a complete battle internal about who gets to make the final call. Me as the general manager.
Well, that call for getting fired isn't going to come from the GM.
That has to come from the owner.
That's going to definitely come from the owner, and then the GM is just going to support it. But it's just, to me, it's all a moot point. There's no way that they're bringing in a guy that could wield power over Bill O'Brien. He's just,
yeah, I don't
just
see
not,
that either.
Last night solidified Bill O'Brien's going to be here for more than at least next year.
Well, and I tell you what, I heard Charlie talking about it on the way in. If they go 11-5 again, which is really likely,
yep,
that's definitely solidifying not only Bill O'Brien as the coach, but he probably goes ahead and gets the GM title. And you know what? I'm not saying he's earned it, but let's be real. When we all broke down the schedule, I think every person on this show said 6-10. Or pretty close to it. No one saw the Texans having a winning record this year, especially with the deficiencies that they had.
That's true.
And the moves that they've made, along with the talent that they currently have, has gotten this team, along with coaching, has gotten this team from a 6-10 team to potentially 11-5. Some of that, the moves that they made, that's on Bill O'Brien, and they've worked. They have absolutely worked. And you can say what you want and hate the man as much as you want, but they've worked. And I hate that, but they have.
We got a lot to talk about. Because, again, I noticed that you guys all kind of crawled under a rock today because they beat the Patriots. And you're not. When I threw out the question early about are you jumping back on the bandwagon, no one chimed
in. The city of Houston is not into sports today.
Why?
I just don't feel like there's a lot of buzz. Even with the win. I really feel like that.
Well, also, don't forget, too, that there's probably a lot of people that took today off as well. Long weekend. You got Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. You use one day today, and it's only one vacation day.
I can see that.
And you get 5-6 days off. So,
well, to start the second half of the show, I mean, and I can throw it out there, but I just want to know what people think. Were you people that were...
You people?
Were you people that were...
What do you mean, you people?
You quote-unquote Texans fans that had jumped off after they got beat by the Ravens, that jumped off even harder even after they beat the Colts, that are ready to jump back on. Were you jumping off because they weren't playing well? Or were you hoping that it was the beginning of the end of Bill O'Brien? There's one we'll talk about. Second half of the show is coming up next. Don't go anywhere. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
G'day, Sam Windsor from the Houston Sabercats here. Rugby's simple. Make tackles, hit rucks, score tries. Almost as simple as using the app. Stream ESPN 97.5 from anywhere, even down under.
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life. Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
90 in the books, 90 still to go. Here comes the second half of the show. It's The Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Easy for you to say, he says, until I heard him when I was out last week. But the gang is all here. The band is back together. It's Nick, it is Barry, it is myself. As we have covered a lot of ground in the first half, obviously talk Texans, talk college football.
Oscar said it was a good win for the Texans, but obviously it's all about the playoffs. Well, I would agree with you, but if they'd have lost, everyone would have been throwing their hands in the air. And typical Texans, blah, blah, blah. You got to give credit where credit is due. This team, the Texans, went out and beat a good football team.
They did.
Again.
They deserve a lot of credit, dude.
They absolutely. From Deshaun Watson to that offensive line to the secondary to Bill O'Brien, Romeo Crennel, up and down. This was an absolute, I mean, that front seven getting after Tom Brady, this was a team win. I mean, really the worst thing about this team, about the Texans team last night, was probably the run game.
Yeah.
And like we talked about, they got him when they needed it, but it wasn't a sexy, it wasn't the normal that you're used to seeing Carlos Hyde. In fact, I would have to go back and look at the box score. I'm pretty sure Duke Johnson
outgained him. I was just going to say, Duke Johnson outgained him because of the fact that they tried to establish more of a power running game early, and the Patriots were able to swallow him up and really just keep him stifled. And so they kind of kept him off balance with Duke Johnson, because when you look at the stats, and they play by the numbers a lot, when Duke Johnson's in the game, the chances are they're going to throw the football.
Yeah.
And when they started handing it off instead, caught the Patriots a little off guard, they were getting some good yardage out of it, so they kept going to it.
Well, if you weren't watching the game and just looking at the box score, the Patriots were actually winning the game in terms of rushing yards alone. Now, obviously, that some of it was granted, like there was a big 32-yard rush by James White and stuff like that. But if you looked at the box score alone, you would think, man, the Patriots – actually, if you looked at the box score – not only were they winning in terms of rushing yards, they had significantly less penalties. I believe in the second or the third quarter, I looked up at the box score, or at least the big screen in NRG, and you see 5 penalties for the Texans and 1 for the Patriots.
Second half,
as the Patriots are losing, it just completely flipped, and they got like 5 penalties in a row, and it ended up being 6-5. And they couldn't have gotten those penalties in a worse time. Granted, some of them are kind of questionable.
Houston got crapped on with a couple of calls in that first half.
I was like,
it looks like they're going to be playing more like 15 or 16 on 11.
That unnecessary roughness call on the tackle was total BS. Oh,
bogus.
Like, come on, man. He was mid-tackle when the guy went down. You can't call unnecessary roughness on that. That was absolute BS. And there was a couple of There was one pass interference.
What
was
the one
that
one of them took the one of the interceptions away, didn't it?
The holding did.
Yeah.
But he had his arm. But there was another pass interference that I think that was called later that I thought, eh, that's ticky tack. But yeah, they didn't there was the Patriots were the beneficiary of some good calls, but the Texans got away with some stuff too.
Sure.
I mean, both teams obviously get away with a lot. There was one where it was a Patriots wide receiver that to me looked like he got interfered, and I think Al Michaels even said, "Well, they're letting them play football tonight." Because it looked like it was going to be could have been called pass interference.
I don't remember which one it was, but yeah, there were a couple that obviously could have gone either way, and maybe they were a little egregious one way or the other.
And can we talk about penalties? One of the stupidest penalties I think still in football and grown adult sports is taking your helmet off.
Oh my God!
Why is that a 15-yard penalty?
You know it's a rule, just don't do it.
Sure,
because that could have cost them points.
Roby, leave your helmet on. But
right.
I mean, come on, that's a stupid ass penalty,
dude. I was drafting a tweet saying, "Man, this guy just cost the Texans 6 points." Thankfully, I didn't send it before Deshaun Watson was able to make that amazing play and score. Anyway,
yeah.
But I was totally ready after Roby was showing that he had a good game with time off,
right?
And then you know he does something like that. It's like, God, but obviously he was emotional. He missed, what, I think he hadn't played since the Chiefs game, if I'm not mistaken.
It's been a while.
And so he's probably pumped to be back on the field and then to have a good game right off the bat. I mean, obviously that probably made him feel good. But still, you got to be better. He's definitely going to learn from that.
One of the things I wrote down, too, was there was a blindside block on a punt for no reason that the Texans committed, which backs them up. They did have some where you thought, okay, this is where they shoot themselves in the foot. But they actually, to their credit, and again, to the player's credit, to the coach's credit, they overcame a lot of these stupid penalties.
They did. And that's the reason why you don't hear about them more, too, was because if the end result is still putting points on the board or not giving up points on the flip side, then it's going to be forgotten a lot easier.
And I want to get to Clarence's call, but one other thing I wanted to bring up. In the second half, I wrote a note about it. Remember the Patriots had 4th and inches? And they throw a pass?
Yeah.
Why do you not have Tom Brady?
J.Joe was the one that broke that up, I think.
Yeah, but it's 4th and inches.
I agree.
Tom Brady has made a living
out of the sneak.
With the QB sneak on 4th and inches for these Patriots. How do you go away from that when he's already struggling with accuracy? The receivers aren't playing well as it is. I mean, hell, you could have handed the ball to James White and had better success.
Yeah, I think that
or
better.
A better shot at it.
I feel like almost Tom Brady didn't want to do that.
So Michelle would have been, you know, he's your pounded running back.
But damn, like, yeah, you QB sneak or you hand it to Michelle or you hand it to White or you do something. But they just run a vanilla pass play, and it was like, dude, that was a stupid decision.
And I think ESPN had it this morning, but I think they were spot on. The difference is on a 4th and inches, the Patriots did what you said. And when the Ravens had 4th and inches in the fourth quarter during crunch time of a tie game, bread and butter. Give it to your quarterback who runs it better than most and get out of the way, and he's going to get you the yard you need.
Yeah.
And because of it, they kept a drive alive. They actually ate up the rest of the clock so that all they had to do was settle for the if the field goal goes, you win. If not, you go to overtime. You don't even have a chance to – and they were in control of the game. The Patriots obviously were not.
No, and the Patriots had a lot of mistakes that they made in this game. And another one that I thought that really didn't come back to haunt them, but it kind of changed the complexion a little bit, was that stupid delay of game on the 2-point conversion where they're like – they're standing at the line, seeing what they're going to see. They let the clock expire – which is a 5-yard penalty, backs him up, and oh boy, misses the extra point kick. And it's like, well, you dumbass, why didn't you either run a play or call a timeout?
Yeah.
Because now you miss the extra point, another point off the board. Very just a lot of those kinds of decisions that were questionable to me that you normally don't see the Patriots making those kind of bonehead decisions.
Man, I know we got to get the Clarence's call, but speaking of that with missing the extra point and that scenario you just thought, did you see the end of the Ole Miss game?
Yes. The dude that
the receiver
what's his name? Elijah
decides to do the whole
peeing the dog
when he scored.
Leg thing.
Yeah, it looked like a dog peeing, and he gets dinged with a 15-yard penalty, and they need the extra point to tie the game, and it pushes him back 15, and he misses the extra point.
Yeah.
Oh, that is on you. That is just that's hard to live down that one. So, all right, that was just a little – I had one to make sure we got that in. But Clarence wants to get in here on the Texans. He was tweeting a lot during the game as well last night. Clarence, what's up?
What the hell?
Oh, my God.
What was that?
You are so wrong. I thought he was doing it again.
Yeah, I did too. I thought you were smelling sex and candy again.
Play it again,
that
Nicholas.
That was not me at
that
all.
That was totally Clarence. I didn't play anything.
Pause for a second. Listen to this.
I'm telling you, that was not me. I was waiting for the little sound to click over, and all I heard was something.
It was him.
Clarence, listen.
He made it sound exactly the same both times.
Did he? What the hell?
Oh, my God.
Yeah, see, dang, no, I don't know what that was.
And Joel and Barry spoke at the exact same time.
That's you, yep. Clarence. I smell sex and candy.
That's forever going to be a drop. Sorry.
Love that so much. What's up, Clarence? Feeling good about your Saints? Feeling good about your Tigers?
Feeling good about Saints, Tigers, and I guess Texans. Yeah, I guess.
Yeah, okay. Yeah,
because... Congratulations, Texans. Y'all beat the Patriots, quote unquote. But let's just go ahead and get this out the way before everybody call me hating ass Clarence. The Patriots are not the Patriots that we remember. This is not a good football team. As a matter of fact, the Patriots are last year's Texans. They had a good record, but who did they beat? The offense is they're running on defense, and their offense is pretty pedestrian, less than pedestrian in the case of the Patriots. I mean, you go and beat Eagles, Browns, Cowboys, every team I can name, not really a good football team. And the Texans, congratulations, you finally get over that hump. But I'd rather y'all would have beat the Texans when they were, I mean, the Patriots when they were the Patriots.
Okay.
But everybody feels good about getting over that hump, and I really can't hate about it. Y'all beat them. Congratulations.
Thanks for calling. All right. Clarence. Way to lift everybody's spirits on a Monday. Jeez.
Appreciate the call, Clarence.
That'll motivate a lot of people to feel good about this team.
That was the least exciting congratulations call.
Yeah.
Well,
and the thing is, too, is he was tweeting last night, but he isn't wrong. The completely Texans thing to do is beat the Patriots and then lose to the Broncos next week.
Yeah. Let's not talk about that.
Let's not have a letdown
Let's not.
Well, and that's the other – and that's why I got back to the question, because I was thinking about it going, with as much as when you were out and Josh Jordan was in here with me, and after that Colts win, all we got was hatred.
That's crazy to me.
I was like, was it hating the team, or is it more that they were hoping that this would be the beginning of the end for Bill O'Brien?
Well, he ain't going nowhere now.
Nope, he's definitely not going anywhere
now. You know what I'm not going anywhere from is Get Upside, because it continues to come through for me, just like your Houston Texans came through for you in a big win against the Patriots. Get Upside is going to come through for you in a big win at the gas pump and a big win at the table. And let me explain to you what GetUpside does. It gets you cash back for things you're already paying for, like gas and like food. All you do is real simple. You download an app. It's in iTunes or Google Play Store. Just search GetUpside, all one word. Put in my promo code Barry, B-A-R-R-Y. That's going to get you a little seed money. It's going to get you a little extra cash back on your first fill up through the app. So what you do is you download it, put it on your phone, and then let's say you got to get gas on the way home today. You pull up the app and you say, show me all the gas stations in my area that are offering cashback deals. You pick the deal you want. You fill up. You upload your receipt as long as you pay for it with a debit or credit card, which we all do anyways. But you upload a picture of your receipt. You're done. It's that simple. And you're getting cash back in your pocket every single time you fill up. Not once a week. Not once a month. Not just one time. Every single time you use the GetUpside app, you're going to get cash back. And it could really add up. And the same is true for the food. You can get up to 35% cash back every time you use the GetUpside app. Guys, that's a third of your meal if you're getting 35%. That's a lot of money. If you eat out multiple times a week like I do, it can really add up. So what are you doing with your money? If you're not using GetUpside, you're wasting it. Do yourself a favor right now. Go download GetUpside. Put in my promo code Barry. Start getting that cash back. Thank me later.
Of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
This is The Usual Suspects on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Powered by Infuse Energy. Infuse energy into your life.
Live from the ESPN 97.5 studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Back on the usual suspects, but we're blessed to have you us your listening pleasure in the afternoon. We call you suspects for a good reason. We love you guys, and hopefully as you get back into the swing of things on the return to work and other things at the start of the month of December, which seems weird.
Yeah.
It is. November really flew by.
Yes, it did.
But we are now into the final month of 2019.
Yes.
And back at it, so we appreciate you guys listening to us.
Clarence got the text line stirred up a little bit, got the Twitters stirred up a little bit. Christina said, that fourth quarter almost gave me a heart attack. I almost stopped breathing. They almost let the Pats come back, and it's true. They did. Mm-hmm. But normally that would have happened in Houston sports. That comeback would have been completed, but to their credit, it wasn't. So it's a win. But Deacon said, 10-2 Patriots are not a good football team. Okay, Clarence. And when we see them playing in the AFC Championship again, what do we say then? You think that team is good enough to get to the AFC Championship game?
No.
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like
it's, not when you see Baltimore.
Yeah.
You know,
when you watch the Ravens play and just how
I watched
what they're
Kansas
doing,
City dismantle a Raiders team that was.
Kansas City doesn't scare me as much, even though they should.
No.
Defensively, though.
Defensively is where they have issues.
Is you know, defensively, the Patriots are still top-notch. They've still only given up 145 points this year, which is by far the best in the NFL. And they've scored over 300. They're not terrible.
No,
they're just not clicking. They're not putting it together. And they've lost to two good football teams.
If you're the guys that say, hey, everybody's going to have a bad week, and that was the Ravens game. Okay.
Well,
then you could also say from a Patriots perspective, hey, for as good as their defense have been all year,
that was a bad,
they were due for a stinker, and there it was.
They had one, and, you know, last night was probably another stinker for them. That's, you know, like everybody said, well, they started off 8-0 and they're 2-2. And then they've lost to two good football teams. The Patriots are still a good football team. They're just not dominant. They're not elite like they were. That, I think, goes to the Ravens. The Ravens are an elite football team. When you look at the teams that they're beating on a week-in and week-out basis, and I realize they had the early season losses to the Chiefs and the Browns, but this team is a lot different than that team. They've beaten the Patriots. They've beaten the Texans, the Rams, the Niners, the Seahawks. You feel like you're saying this is the best team in football right now is the Baltimore Ravens. They get it done offensively. They get it done defensively. There's really no holes in this team right now.
No, I agree. And you know what? As much as I kind of scoffed at friends of mine and guys in the industry that started telling me, hey, the Ravens are going to be in the Super Bowl. I was like, come on, man. I mean, they got to come quite a ways with a young quarterback. And, you know, I was looking at, you know, adding the running back from the Saints.
Ingram.
Yeah. I'm looking at Ingram, and I'm going, he's got to fit in. You know, I'm still not sold on their receiving core.
They said in the game, he's exactly what they needed.
And obviously, Lamar isn't sold on their receivers except for John Brown. He basically loves to throw to the tight ends and get it done himself. But look, defensively, on the fly, they lost Za'Darius Smith, their best overall defensive lineman last year. And all they did was add Earl Thomas and Marcus Peters during the season and you know, a few guys here and there on the D-line, and you're like, you know what? Their staple has always been defense. That's still there, and they've got a system and an offense and a quarterback playing, like, on top of the world, and you can't – right now you can't scoff at anybody that says – by the way, Vegas changed their odds after last night.
Yeah,
the Patriots were the favorite to represent the AFC in the Super Bowl, and now it's the Ravens.
There are four teams that are 10-2 currently in the NFL. Mm-hmm. All right? Patriots, Ravens, Saints, and Niners. Mm-hmm. And now if you had to pick, who's the best team?
There's one more I hope gets there tonight.
Who's the best team out of those four? Patriots, Ravens, Saints, and Niners.
I think it's the Ravens right now.
It's the Ravens because guess what? Two of those teams, the Ravens have played and beat.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say.
They've beat two of the four best teams in the NFL.
Well, there's your eye test and your strength of schedule.
Yeah, these two losses that the Niners have, one of them from the Ravens. The two losses that the Patriots have, one of them from the Ravens. Yep. I'm telling you, man, that kind of stuff right there, this is, and again, I know they lost to the Chiefs, and I don't remember, they lost back-to-back games. This is the Chiefs and somebody else. But and I realized that those matter, and that's their two losses. But it was the Browns, which, yeah. But that's still, that was
again, we game talk about
three
letdowns
and four
happen.
In the season.
We this also is a, say, letdowns happen. Yeah. At some point in the year, you're going to have a stinker.
You're going to, if you're losing games three and four, and then you start just dominating teams. Well, you know, oh wow, they dominated the Texans, and the Patriots really wasn't that close. They looked good against the Niners. I mean, this is a completely different football team.
We go back to what we were talking about earlier in the show, and that is, that's our perception of how it's going to play out right now.
Yeah.
But there's so much more that's going to play out and settle things for us between now and the end of the season. When you look at if Seattle beats Minnesota tonight,
they
now suddenly
to
they're tied. Yeah, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I hope they get there, because now they're tied with the Niners for that division. Packers get a one-game lead. And then you add another team to the mix in terms of, are they good enough to represent the NFC at the end of the year?
Yeah.
You know, and then, like we said, it's going to come down to who – it may be whoever is going to represent the NFC comes down to who wins their division versus who has to play a wild card schedule.
Yeah.
Seattle and San Francisco, they're going to duke it out. Saints are sitting pretty. They're already in.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, they've clinched their division already.
Good and bad,
oh, no,
right?
They clinched the playoffs.
Good and bad. They've clinched the playoffs in the division, but at the same time, when you look at it, you go, well, but does that mean that they're not going to be hyped up with any more big games that they have to worry about
until
they get to the
playoffs?
No, I think
it means they'll be rested. I mean, that's one thing.
Rest versus rust is something we always talk about.
Yeah, I don't know. I think in football you can certainly use the rest.
But you know there's a different
feeling.
Because
you can still practice and you can play half a not a full game, and that
helps. You know there's a different feeling between, take the Texans for example. There's a different feeling between the Texans preparing to play the Jags or the Texans preparing to play last night.
Yeah.
With the opponent, you know you can't make mistakes. You got to be on your game. You got to be sharp.
Mm-hmm.
Saints don't have to be sharp now for another month. So,
yeah,
there's something to be said there, too.
I tell you what, it's kind of almost like the NFC, outside of the Cowboys and the Eagles, who are just, do you really want to be a division winner in that division? You need somebody to win out.
Well, that's the thing. No matter who it is, everybody's going to want to play you.
Oh, sure.
And when you look at it, you can save face at least by winning. But I know a lot of friends from Philly. Boy, you want to talk about a fan base that turned 180
yeah,
on that
they're pissed.
After yesterday. They want Doug Peterson gone.
And they should.
They want Carson Wentz traded.
You can't lose.
They want the entire secondary given away.
They should.
They want a complete reset button.
And yeah. Yeah, they absolutely should. But the point I was trying to make is somebody's going to win that division and get into the playoffs.
Right.
But outside of that, playoffs are pretty much decided. Is it safe to say in the NFC?
I think so. And I mean, think it's whoever, what everybody wants to see.
Whoever doesn't win the NFC North is going to be a wild card team, and whoever doesn't win the West is going to be the
absolutely.
Wild card team.
Yep, absolutely.
Right?
And that's what everybody wants to see. If you want the best teams duking it out at the end of the year, you're going to get that in the NFC.
I don't think the Rams are going to catch the Niners and the Seahawks.
Although they might.
I just don't think so. They're three back in the loss
column. They might
column
catch
with
a wild
four
card.
Games to go.
Yeah.
Three back with four games to go, not happening, right? And I don't think that the Bears are catching the Vikings
and
the Packers.
Oh, no.
So they're three back with four games to go. So the fact is, I think you don't know who the wild card teams are yet.
Right.
But I think it's safe to say that the NFC, the playoff teams are whoever wins the East, Packers, Vikings, Saints, Niners, Seahawks.
Mm-hmm.
So
that's pretty right.
Yeah.
All right, Troy wants to get in here for the break. Troy, what's up?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What up, Troy?
Well, after Clarence's call, I was going to hang up, and I wasn't going to brag.
But
anyway, it just watching that game last night, it seems like Bill and Romeo went in there with a game plan, and they executed it, and they just tweaked it here and there where they needed to accommodate what the Patriots were doing.
Okay.
They actually had a decent game plan.
I would agree with that.
I would as well.
Yeah, especially that first half. Appreciate the call, Troy.
Yep.
That first half, I mean, there's no doubt about it. And somebody tweeted, I think it was me and AJ, and they were like, Texans are out-scheming the Patriots. And they did. The first half is always scheme. The second half is always adjustments.
Sure.
And they ended up winning both of those battles. They ended up winning. They schemed better, and they made the adjustments necessary.
Bill O'Brien told what's her name at halftime? Hey, we just want to come out with a three and out to start the second half to set the tone and really turn it. And I was like, yeah, that's not going to happen. And sure enough, the defense stepped up right away to start second half. I was like, wait a minute now. Maybe they're onto something here. So, all right, we're onto something. We're onto our final hour of the show. We got 60 minutes on the clock when we return. Hopefully you will too. It's the Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
Well, hello. To call into the HR&P listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Looking to outsource your company's HR and payroll? Get the top initiative and smart solutions with HRP.net.